Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. It appears that we have a quorum present, so Madam, let's take roll call, please.
Rubio.
Here.
Rubio, present. Jones.
I'm here.
Jones, present. Archuleta.
Here.
Archuleta, present. Bates. Bates, present. Gorgeous. Gorgeous, present.
Dodd. Galgiani. Glazier. Hueso. Mitchell. Mitchell, present. Morlock. Morlock, present. Portantino. Roth.
Thank you. Now that we've established a quorum, the first order of business is to adopt the committee rules. In addition to technical cleanup, the rules changes increase the number of copies of amendments to be submitted to the committee. Are there any questions?
I'm happy to make a motion.
So moved. Please call the roll.
Rubio.
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Jones.
Aye.
Jones, aye. Archuleta.
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Bates. Bates, aye. Borges.
Aye.
Borges, aye. Dodd. Galgiani. Glazier. Hueso. Mitchell. Mitchell, aye. Morlock. Morlock, aye. Portantino. Roth.
Thank you. So motion passes. Right now we're going to be hearing from Senator Bradford, SB 534. Is he present? Hello, Mr. Bradford. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm here to present SB 534. I want to thank the chair and the committee and staff work helping this measure move forward. I'm committed to continuing our work together to address the concerns outlined in the bill's analysis. In fact, we have already made a lot of progress on those issues with discussions that have started and will be ongoing as this policy moves forward. SB 534 has three components. First, it reestablishes an insurance supplier diversity survey established in 2012, which sunset on January 1 of this year. The survey required each insurance company that does at least $100 million annually in California in premiums to report the efforts to procure goods and services from diverse businesses. Specifically, insurance companies were required to report on their procurement from minority, women-owned, and disabled veteran-owned businesses. The transparency achieved through the survey has helped highlight the importance of diverse contracting within the insurance industry. We've also seen the great success with the utilities for the last 30 years with supplier diversity, and we're seeing it now with SB1 that also has a supplier diversity component. So this is nothing new, and it moves in the direction that California has supported. As a result of California's insurance procurement with diverse owned businesses, it rose 93% over the 5-year period, from $930 million in 2012 to $1.8 million in 2017. SB 534 ensures that this data can continue to be collected and includes diverse communities and categories that have been historically excluded, such as LGBT-owned and veteran-owned businesses. Second, 534 codifies the Governing Board Diversity Survey designed to improve diversity at the highest levels of governance in the insurance industry. The survey is entirely voluntary and gives each board member the opportunity to self-report their demographic information to the Department of Insurance. In 2017, insurers across the state reported to the Department of Insurance that nearly 80% of insurance companies' governing board seats were held by men, and only 12% of the seats were held by people of color. Of the nearly 2,400 board seats, only 14 members self-identified as LGBT. 13% reported zero women, and 35% reported zero persons of color on their governing board. This is a problem because diversity is intrinsically beneficial to the industry and our state as a whole. As stated, it's benefited all the other industries that have accepted supplier diversity. Research shows that boards are better equipped to make informed decisions and carry out the fiduciary duties when they have a diverse mix of board members from different backgrounds and experiences. It is vital that we continue to collect this data in order to find the best approaches to evaluate and increase diversity in the insurance market. Lastly, 534 codifies the Insurance Diversity Task Force. The task force is comprised of 15 members appointed by the insurance commissioner who represent insurance companies, experts in supplier diversity, and governing boards diversity, and diverse business enterprises. The task force advises and provides recommendations to the Department of Insurance on how they can best meet their diversity goals. SB 534 ensures a meaningful data continues to be collected and builds upon previous efforts to ensure California's insurance industry is inclusive and diverse. Here with me today is Michael Martinez, Senior Deputy Commissioner and Legislative Director for the Insurance Commissioner, and Linda Akakatawa. I said I was going to get that right, and I messed it up. President and CEO of Leadership Education for the Asian Pacific Incorporated. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Mr. Martinez.
Great. Good afternoon, Chair Rubio and members, and Vice Chair Jones. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here. Michael Martinez, Senior Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Insurance, here for Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara. And we are proudly in support of this measure as a sponsor of this measure, and want to thank Senator Bradford for his continued leadership on this very important issue here for our state. I absolutely just appreciate the author's comments, and just to add to them briefly so we can allow our out-of-town witnesses to have a little bit more time, is that the commissioner does believe encouraging procurement opportunities for the state small businesses and governing board opportunities for all people does actually lead to great economic benefits for the entire state. And that the bill does allow and will allow California to continue to leverage this rapid growth of the insurance sector's role in contributing to vibrant local economies. Identical to what Mr. Bradford had stated of the commitment in moving forward, should and as hopefully the bill moves forward, the department and the commissioner will continue to work with those remaining issues with the bill and with the author and with the author and with the committee staff to address just the last remaining issues with the bill. And again, working with industry stakeholders to address these issues as the bill continues to move forward. And so that being said, we respectfully ask and request an aye vote.
Thank you. Start with the first witness.
Hello, Chair Rubio and Vice Chair Jones, members of the Senate Insurance Committee. My name is Linda Akutagawa. I'm the President and CEO of LEAP, Leadership Education for Asian Pacifics, and I'm also the Chair of the Alliance for Board Diversity, which is a coalition of four leadership organizations made up of Catalyst, a women's organization, ELC, or the Executive Leadership Council, which is focused on African American executives, Hispanic Association of Corporate Responsibility, which is focused on increasing corporate representation of Latinos and Hispanics on in companies, and LEAP, which is my organization, which is focused on uncapping leadership from within the Asian and Pacific Islander communities. I am also a member of the Insurance Diversity Task Force at the California Department of Insurance as well, too. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak before all of you today. I'm here on both behalf of the Alliance for Board Diversity and LEAP to offer support for SB 534 for various reasons, specifically one of our pieces one of our pieces of the Alliance for Board Diversity is a multi-year study that we do conduct called Missing Pieces. It is our latest report was released just a few months ago, which looks at the diversity of women and minorities on Fortune 500 corporate boards. And in that, we do identify certain numbers in which we do see that among Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies, there is still a lack of diversity on these corporate boards. For example, men still occupy 75% of Fortune 100 and 75.5% of Fortune 500 companies. In terms of looking at people of color, we're seeing that Asian and Pacific Islanders occupy only 3.8% of Fortune 100 company board seats. Hispanic Latinos occupy only 4.4%, and African Americans occupy only just a little over 11%, respectively, on Fortune 100 boards. The numbers are not that much better for Fortune 500. I do also want to say just one note is that as I look at who are the new board members coming onto these Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 company boards. New seats are not necessarily going to women and minorities in large numbers. What we're seeing is that more than half of new board members that continue to be added continue to be white men. What we are seeing, though, is that there is some progress, but what I do believe is that what gets measured gets done. And so what we are seeing through our report is that we're seeing companies like Prudential Financial have the broadest diversity, meaning that they have women, African-American, Latino, and Asians on their boards. What we're also seeing is that research done by companies like McKinsey is showing that the financial performance of insurance companies and other large companies do reflect greater financial performance when you have a more diverse board. And in fact, when a board is made up of ethnic diversity, we're seeing actually a 43% difference between the most diverse and the least diverse companies in terms of their performance. And so as a native Californian, I would expect that anybody who's going to be doing business here in California would be looking to achieve the best kind of performance for the people of California. And so for this purpose, I do want to say that as a member of the Insurance Diversity Task Force as well, too, I do want to say that this is something that I believe is of importance to the people of California. I think it's also of importance to those who work and also benefit from these companies doing business here. And so I do want to say that as an advocate, I do want to encourage all of you to please consider and respectfully ask for your aye vote in favor of SB 534.
Thank you, Linda. You may proceed.
Thank you to the chair, vice chair, and members for having us here today. My name is Jay Green. I'm the principal of the Green Law Firm. The Green Law Firm is a certified LGBT business enterprise. I'm a member of the board of directors for the Golden Gate Business Association. It's the world's oldest LGBT chamber of commerce. It's located in San Francisco, California. I'm also a proud member of the California Department of Insurance's Diversity Task Force. I'm licensed to practice law in California, Florida, and surprisingly enough, Alabama. So I, like many of your ancestors, came to California in hopes for a greater opportunity. For generation after generation, California has been a state where people are free to be themselves, and they succeed because of that diversity. California's Insurance Diversity Initiative has been instrumental in increasing opportunities for all members of California's diverse communities. Since initiative reporting started in 2012, LGBT-owned diverse spend in California has increased from $104,000 to $9.9 million. This is an increase of 95% just from the fact that we're tracking results. This has had an impact of $23.7 million in 2017 on national diverse LGBT spend, which is an increase of three times since reporting started in 2012. The information gathered by the department through the initiative has allowed our chamber to pinpoint and recognize the companies with significant LGBT spend and target other companies where their LGBT spend can be increased. The category level of detail in reporting for spend allows us as a chamber to pinpoint opportunities for our members and make introductions to corporate procurement professionals at those companies. We can't offer this level of service to our chamber members without the level of detail that the insurance companies are providing the department through the Insurance Diversity Initiative. Through the work of the Insurance Diversity Initiative and other supplier diversity initiatives, my law firm has had meetings with some of the largest Fortune 500 companies in the country. These are meetings that would never have been a possibility for my law firm in Alabama. The California and the Senator's commitment to diversity has allowed me to reach higher and pursue far greater than I could have imagined. I look forward to my further work on the Insurance Diversity Task Force And I and the GBA encourage the committee to give an aye vote for SB 5534 to make sure that these opportunities exist for future generations.
Thank you very much for your testimony. At this time, I'd like to invite anyone else wishing to speak in support. Please come up to the microphone.
Good afternoon, Anthony Galasse with the Green Lighting Institute in support.
Thank you.
Hi, Puneet Budhirwal on behalf of Equality California in support.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in support? So at this point, I'll ask anybody wishing to speak in opposition to please come up to the microphone.
Good afternoon. Sherry McHugh representing the Association of California Life and Health Insurance Companies and the Pacific Association of Domestic Insurance Companies. We are opposed unless amended. However, we've had numerous very productive conversations with the author's office as well as the sponsor, and we're very comfortable with the bill moving forward today so that those conversations can continue. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Saren Taylor with the Personal Insurance Federation of California. I just want to echo the comments of my colleague, and the goal of the bill is laudable, and we look forward to working with the author, the insurance commissioner, and the committee to address our concerns. Thank you.
Senator Bradford, would you like to close? Unless there's any questions from our members? Mr. Borges?
Thank you, Chairwoman. Trying to understand how the survey system works. I don't know to whom I should address the question. If an individual is, let's say, a board member, is it that board member's prerogative to reveal their identification? For example, if they're a member of the LGBT community, is it upon them to self-declare, or is it upon the employer to declare on their behalf? Where does the right of declaration of identification lie?
It's voluntary. It's a voluntary information, and it's up to the individual. The company can't take it upon themselves. So it's up to the individual.
Okay. So if that individual declines?
Yes, it's fine.
Thank you.
No issue there. Yeah.
Anybody else? Mr. Glaser?
Senator Bradford, if I missed this in your opening, it's my apologies. Could you elaborate maybe in your close on what the issues are that are still differing with the industry so we can just be aware of those?
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay. That's it.
Any other questions? Okay, you may close.
Thank you. And I want to thank my witnesses for coming forth as well as Mr. Martinez from the Department of Insurance. What we've seen over the last 5 years is that by providing this information, it provides for a greater growth of diverse businesses to do work with the insurance agencies. As we've seen for the last 30 years, where we've implemented supplier diversity in a utility space under General Order 156, we have now where we'll exceed $10 billion of spend this year with minority and women-owned businesses and disabled veteran businesses. We want to achieve that same goal in this insurance space. It is one of the last bastions of male-dominated industry, and we feel, again, if your contractors and people that you procure with looks like California, the same customer base that you represent, you should be wanting to do business with them. This is what we're trying to achieve. We also put diversity language 2 years ago in SB1 to make sure that women-owned and minority-owned businesses and our disabled veterans have an opportunity to do business in that space as well. So this is just following a tradition that we have started, and we truly believe in being in the most diverse state in the nation that our contracting opportunities, our entrepreneurial opportunities should be reflective of that great diversity. And that's the sole purpose of this bill, and making sure that who you do business with is just as diverse as your customer base. So I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you so much. I've been working with the author on a lot of the concerns that were expressed as it pertains to what Mr. Borges also expressed, and he's very committed to focusing on the respect for individual privacy, and we'll continue to move on this issue. So thank you for that, and thank you for all your testimony. I do have a motion by Senator Holly Mitchell. Call the roll, please. Thank you.
This is double referred to judiciary, is that right?
Yes, referred to Judiciary Committee. That's correct. So it's a due pass and referred to Judiciary Committee. Please call the roll.
Rubio?
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Jones? Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Bates? Borges? Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazier?
Aye.
Glazier, aye. Hueso? Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Morlock? Portantino?
Aye.
Portantino, aye. Roth?
Okay, so we're going to put the bill on call, make sure that everyone has the opportunity to vote. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
Thank you. Next, we're going to hear SB 540 by Jones. Mr. Jones. Do I have to announce like seven? Mr. Jones, you may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair and colleagues. I think this is a simple bill on an interesting topic, so we'll see how it works out. It's a new topic to me. And it's been a fun learning experience. A split dollar life insurance policy allows the cost and benefit of a permanent life insurance policy to be shared. California currently allows nonprofits to offer these unique policies to their officers as an additional benefit that ends up being cost neutral to the nonprofit. Current law requires this arrangement to hold both the cash surrender value and the death benefit as security. However, this requirement takes away the benefit to the officer since they are not able to utilize any of the cash value of the policy since it is required to be held as security for the arrangement. Senate Bill 540 slightly adjusts the value that is required to be held as security on a split dollar life insurance policy under a loan regime to either the death benefit or the cash surrender value or both. I'd like to accept both of the committee's amendments suggested on page 5 of the committee analysis and thank the committee staff for their diligent work on this bill. These amendments will help ensure that the contract between the nonprofit and the officer or the collateral assignment agreement is truly cost neutral for the nonprofit. This bill gives nonprofits in California a recruitment and retention tool to compete in the employment market. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Is there anybody wishing to speak in support? Seeing no interest, anybody wishing to speak in opposition? Okay, I will open it up for members to ask questions. Senator Archuleta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There it goes. Thank you. When the agreement happens between the two entities, is there a set amount, 60-40, 50-50, anything in the future, or that's something that they can work out themselves? We're not mandating anything.
My understanding is they can, well, it's based on the value of the life of the policy. So
yeah.
As the policy matures, then the limit that they can take is regulated so that the officer can't take more than the value of the policy.
So they're able to work it out themselves.
Right. Correct.
Very good. Thank you.
Senator Mitchell, did you have a question?
I just wanted to say I'm going to lay off the bill today.
Okay.
Having spent most of my career in the nonprofit sector, I'm familiar with this product. I do not support the argument that the nonprofit sector, particularly in today's economy, is having trouble attracting top talent. The nonprofits are doing well compared to private sector and government, for that matter. I know it's being double referred, so I'm going to get the specifics of my questions to you as well as the consultant in the other committee. I just think it could, I just have some rather technical questions, so I'm just going to lay off. And if the questions are answered, and it doesn't appear to me that it's a solution that's looking for a problem, I'll be happy to weigh in later. But I'll be laying off today, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions? Okay, thank you. All right, well, thank you for coming before us today. So I do have, we're going to.
If I can address Ms. Mitchell's, just real quick, my understanding in this is, and we'll get all that stuff worked out. My understanding is that most of the time this product is used for hospital executives.
Healthcare.
Right, okay, good. All right, thank you. That's it.
I understand who uses it. I understand how current law
Burgess.
Allows you to some degree and have questions around ultimate tax liability. Okay. On the nonprofit.
And then what's the last one?
Great. So, we will get those questions answered for you. Thank you.
Thank you. So do you want to close or would you?
That's my chair. Please vote aye.
Thank you. So we do have a motion by Burgess. Please call the roll. To do pass as amended and re-referred to Banking and Financial Institutions Committee. Please call the roll.
Rubio.
Aye.
Rubio, aye. Jones.
Aye.
Jones, aye. Archuleta.
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Bates. Burgess.
Aye.
Burgess, aye. Dodd. Dodd, aye. Galgiani. Galgiani, aye. Glazier.
Aye.
Glazier, aye. Weso. Mitchell. Morlock. Morlock, aye. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye. Roth.
At this time, we're going to place the bill on call to ensure that all our colleagues had an opportunity to vote.
Nope.
Mr. Roth, would you like to vote on this item or pass? We're voting on it's SB 540 Jones, Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporations.
The current vote is 9-0. Do pass as amended to and re-refer to Judiciary Banking and Financial Institution Committee. Roth, aye.
So I will put that on call to ensure that everyone has an opportunity to vote. At this point, we're going to be taking up consent calendar. Is there anybody?
Move it.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Senator Glazier. Please call the roll. Was it him?
Rubio.
I heard him here. Aye.
Rubio, aye. Jones.
Aye.
Jones, aye. Archuleta.
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Burgess. Burgess, aye. Dodd. Dodd, aye. Galgiani.
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazier.
Aye.
Glazier, aye. Weso. Mitchell. Morlock. Morlock, aye. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye. Roth. Roth, aye.
Thank you. So that is a motion to pass. We're going to open up the call on SB 534. Bradford. Sorry, we're opening the call for SB 534 Bradford. Please call the roll.
The current vote is 7-0. SB 534, do pass and re-refer to Judiciary Committee. Bates. Bates. Burgess. Weso. Morlock. Roth.
Roth, aye.
Now I will open up the...
The final vote is 8-0.
The final vote on SB 534 is 8-0. The vote is out.
It's too late to do it on a final vote that you have called, you've announced. But if there's anything else on call, do you want to leave it open for Weso, who is presenting it? If you've announced the vote, you've closed the vote. So if there's anything else on call, leave it open for Senator Weso.
Okay, at this point, we understand Senator Weso is presenting in Health Committee, so we're going to leave the roll open to give him the opportunity to vote. So we're going to open the call on SB 540. Please call the roll.
The current vote is 10-0. Do pass as amended and re-refer to Banking and Financial Institutions Committee. Bates. Okay. Oh, I did. Bates, aye.
The current vote is 11-0. We will be leaving it open for Senator Weso to make it back to this committee. So at this point, if I can ask the sergeant to see if we can figure out where Mr. Weso is and let him know that we're ready for him.
I thought I heard you close the vote, but Tim just said you didn't close the vote, so we can leave everything open on call for Senator Weso.
Okay, so at this point, we're going to take a little recess to make sure that Senator Weso has the opportunity to come and vote, and they'll be letting him know at this time. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Weso. We're going to open the call for SB 534, Bradford. Currently, we have 8-0. Call the roll.
Wiseau. Wiseau, aye.
The bill passes 9-0. We're going to open the roll on SB 540, Jones, Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporations. Please call the roll.
Wiseau. Wiseau, aye.
Do pass 12-0. Now we're going to move on to SB 292, which is in consent calendar. Please open the roll.
Wiseau. Wiseau, aye.
Do pass 12-0. Thank you, everyone. At this point, we are adjourned. Thank you so much.